your prayers and your forgiveness. I'm late, but we shall move on. Okay, so I'm sure you have been welcomed to the first Sunday of October 2023. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's a great thing for us to be able to see today. And it happens, of course, to be the National Day of Independence of our nation. And also happens to bring us to the final part of our series on what God hates. What God hates. It's an interesting series for me, and I believe for you too. What we are learning from it is that it's helping us to understand another dimension of the love of God, of how we are to express our love for God. It is the greatest and the first commandment, which says that we must love God with all our everything, our mind, our soul, our might, and our heart. That is the first and the greatest. And so we're seeing this aspect of the love of God that flows from what may be considered to be negative. In our first week, we had looked at our text, which had listed out a summary of key areas, the things that God hates. We spoke about pride. We spoke about deceit. That's a lying tongue. Deceit found in also false witnesses. And of course, a false witness is the one who, in breathing out his deceit, eventually ends up sowing discord amongst the brethren. Last week, was it two weeks ago, we looked at injustice. Well, it was last week. We looked at injustice. Which spoke to the ultimate expression of, as verse 17 says, hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. And so finally this week, we're looking at the last two elements of the things that God hates. And that has to do with an evil heart and evil feet. Wicked heart, evil feet. So, once again, happy Sunday, everybody. Let me just quickly read that verse that we are focusing on in the text. The text again is from Proverbs chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 18. It says, a heart that devises wicked plans and feet that make haste to run to evil. So let us pray, because we need the Lord's help to give us understanding and to cause his word to work in our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you as you teach us to improve and how best to love you. It's not enough for us to love and say that we love God, but we also, our love must encompass even that which is your own set disposition towards evil things. And that is the fact that you hate sin. The one thing that you hate, we must also hate. If we are to be true children of God, reflecting the image and the character of our Savior. I ask that you help us, O Lord, even now. That by this teaching and through this, you would also increase our love for you. Be our teacher. Give us understanding. Let your word cast light and give us direction. For our good, O Lord, we pray. And for your glory, we pray. Through Christ's name. Amen. Evil heart or wicked heart, a heart that devises wicked plans. I'm talking about the heart, I'm talking about feet. You'll find that in this whole list, the heart is kind of central because it really directs, determines everything else. What the eyes do, what the mouth speaks, and so on. All of it is flowing from the heart. All of it is flowing from the heart. It's a true statement that God hates immorality. Immorality. We understand that morality is about good and evil. It's about right and wrong. We live in a moral universe. All peoples of all shades and sizes and in different places recognize this. Across the ages, we understand that we abide by a moral code. We hold that men are all moral agents. They are able to make choices about what is good and what is bad. And they are able to be held accountable for those choices. Everywhere, the concept of right and wrong, the concept of good and bad is universally accepted and understood. People do not have to be taught or learn that bravery is a good thing. People do not have to learn that cowardice is not a good thing. These are moral values, and they occur in the same way. Whether in the dark recesses of my village in Abia State or in the hallowed halls of Washington, D.C., it's the same because human beings are the same. Loyalty is good. Treachery, betrayal is bad. We all understand that. It is even said that there is honor amongst thieves. Even those that are recognized as evil have a code that they abide by, that they understand as being noble. Amongst the mafia, they have the code of silence. It's called omerta. And because of that, anyone who's upstanding as a mafioso keeps mute. They never give out information to the public or to the officials of the law. They never do that. They try to protect their own. And the ones that do and hold to that code, they are respected in their midst. So, the knowledge of good and evil is objective. It's across board with humanity. It is universal. In fact, one of the arguments that we make when we try to offer a defense for our faith is the moral argument. An argument that says that if God doesn't exist, then there can be no objective good or evil. But because we know that there is an objective good and an objective evil that we can tell, therefore, we can say logically that God does what? Exists. God indeed exists, and he loves morality. He loves morality because he's the source of it. And of course, in turn, he hates immorality. Our text helps us understand immorality by defining the dual agencies. And those agencies are the heart and the feet. In fact, throughout the Bible, there is this duality or dualisms that just occurs from time to time all across the scriptures. You talk about law and grace. We talk about judgment and salvation. We talk about truth and error. Of course, when we speak about the conscience, we know that the conscience is that which arbitrates between right and wrong. The Bible calls it the law that is written in our hearts. Romans chapter 2, I think it is. Of course, in the gospel itself also, we understand that there are imperatives and there are indicatives. And so you see this duality all across the Bible. And here in this text as well, the sentences are almost like a parallelism, which is something, a literal device that the Hebrews often use in their poetry. One line and the second one is speaking about the same thing, but using a different metaphor or image to convey the same message or underline the same message. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. From the heart comes the design, the plan, and the execution, the procurement, the application. Is then what we see from the feet. What has been designed is delivered through and by and means of the feet. And under each of these instances, we say there are two, heart and feet. Under each of these three are three descriptors. And so we'll see that in the sentences themselves. Three descriptors, the agent, the process, and the outcome. In the first line, you see heart, and you see what it does, it devises, and then the outcome are the wicked plans. And the second line tells us about the feet, that's the agency, the means. The process is that it runs, it makes haste to run, in fact, and the outcome is evil. We take them one by one. The design, the plan, what they think. God hates what they think. God hates what they think. The agent is the heart. That's the source. That's the spiritual center of the man. It's our seat of reason. It's our, where our will lies and our emotions, the seat of our desires, everything. That is how the Hebrew sees the heart. It's a source of action. It's from the heart. If you recall, from Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it talks about the heart. God was aghast, if you will, let me just use that word, about the state of the human heart. He said it was evil. And not just was it evil, it was continually so. This brought him to the point where he now decided to wipe off man from the face of the earth. He saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention and thought of his heart was only evil continually. That's the heart. That's the heart. And he then goes through this process, the action that he does, it devises, it builds up schemes. Proverbs again, 15:26 will tell us that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. This is the heart. It is calculating, it's computing, it's devising, it's scheming, it's making up stories. That's the human heart for you. And it's, of course, spreading them. And the outcome of this evil heart is the result, wicked plans. Wicked plans. I looked again at the dictionary in the NLT about this word wicked. It says a very bad morals. The wickedness is firstly a rebellion against God's person and against his rule. This wickedness, again, secondly, is against God's people, those who bear God's image, particularly those who are nearest and dearest to him, in whom the image is restored through the belief and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our Lord is far away. He's in heaven where he can't be reached. And thus the wicked that devise plans, then take out their wickedness on God's people that they can reach. So the apostle would say, I bear on my marks, on my body, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let nobody trouble me. Let nobody trouble me. Comes in the form of persecutions and afflictions. That's a promise to all of us. We cannot run away from it. But there are these people, the Bible tells us about wicked and unreasonable men. And that is why we continue to pray the prayer in, you know, as our Lord spoke about. One of our petitions in that prayer is, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. God hates what they think. The wickedness involves the condemnation and judgment. It comes out as antisocial behavior against God's will, misuse of power, deception, lying, anything to hurt other people. The day that we are living in is an expression of wicked imaginations. All of this is evil in the sight of God, and he hates it. No one with a wicked or evil imagination can inherit the kingdom of God. God hates it. These lead to habits that lead to bondage. And of course, bondage leads to what? Death. And so we see that the wages of sin is death. Human laws, they do what? They judge sin according to the acts that people have performed. But God judges us according to the evil in our hearts. God hates sin. He hates what they think. The design comes through the heart. The planning comes through the heart. But indeed, at the end of the day, this is what we face as God's people. Yet our Lord will say to us, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Not by the wickedness that you see or that you face. Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. So he's building his church. That's a commitment. The only institution that he has decided to put his effort to. The assembly of the saints. And if he's behind it, then he can be assured that this kingdom will be built. Will be built. But it's not only the heart. Not only did the heart devise and plan and design evil things to carry out the seed plans. And that is what we see in the second part of the verse. The feet that make haste to run to evil. This is the delivery. This is the accomplishment. This is what they do. They think the wicked thoughts in their hearts, and then they do it. They carry it out. They deliver the wickedness. They accomplish it. And God hates what they do. God hates what they do. Look at this in verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 15. It tells us that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to him, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 9 tells us that the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. Their sacrifices, their ways, they're all an abomination to the Lord. The sinful thoughts will eventually lead to what? Sinful actions. There are people in every community who openly and flagrantly go against God's law. They boast in it. They make no pretense about it or pretense about being good. But it does not excuse them from their wickedness. What is the agency? The feet. The feet. This is the person. This is the action. This is the doing. And the standard studies have shown that nonverbal communication is a huge component of communication as a whole. It's not just the spoken words, but the body language. The body language signifies and says. And so, even when you're in a conversation with somebody whose feet are already pointing elsewhere, you know that the person is trying to leave your presence. Or they are looking at their watch and speaking to you. They are looking to finish, to end the conversation. That's a body language. It is the feet. The feet is the agency through which this wicked thoughts and plans are delivered. And the process, of course, is that it runs. It runs. In fact, it is doubled down. This description is actually doubled down. It says, it makes haste to run to evil. Why is all this necessary? I mean, because, you know, when you read this, and sometimes it may be difficult to relate, and you're saying to yourself, hey, you know, we're not among, no. I mean, who are these people? Hands that kill. I have never killed anybody. We talked about that. We remember that even the words that we use and how we use them in anger springs from the same source, murderous source, which is the heart. And if unchecked, will eventually end up in that area. And so what you're seeing is the ultimate end of something that starts in this way. In fact, that's part of the reason why the book of Proverbs was written in the first instance. Chapter 1 tells us, the preacher is telling his son, "My son, listen to me, so that you would have wisdom and you have understanding and you would know how to live." And then he spells out the temptations that are offered to us. Each temptation comes with its offer of reward. Its offer of reward. And it's putting people under so much pressure in this day and age. As always. I recall many years ago, a friend of mine, we were all going through hard times, if you will. So these hard times, I've stayed a long time. But, so this guy now gets into 419. Gets into 419. And in those days, there were different types. So the local ones, i.e. were the ones where you diverted information, maybe someone's letter or someone's invoice or whatever, you diverted it. And then put yourself into the mix, and you are the one who's now replying to the source and so on. So this is what we're doing. Diverting, working with couriers. Let me not name any name. With couriers. Couriers will divert your mail to them. And they would open it, and then they'll put themselves inside. They'll be the ones to respond, and whoever it is that you're doing business with would think that you are the one. And so he was into this, and as they progressed, he now told me that they took him and now went to Babalawo on top. So it wasn't just that they were doing this 419, but they were adding more to the mix. What is this about? Come with us. We will make a killing. We will take you from this spot and position that you're in, that you're suffering now, and we will elevate you. The attraction is there. It's very strong. You have been massing, i.e. you have been going everywhere on your futo bends or whatever it is called. Everywhere. You're jumping buses, your clothes tear, all kinds of things. You're just going through affliction. These are some of the things that push people in this direction. And the pressure is immense. Especially when you see others. Maybe it was in recent times they were talking about cutting soap. Come and cut soap for us. Young men will go. So these things have left a plane that was, so to speak, normal and going into a spiritual level. That is how evil progresses. That's how evil progresses. It starts in a benign fashion. The Bible speaks of such men. It says that they weary themselves. They weary themselves committing evil. These guys don't rest, though. They are up at night planning, plotting about what to do. They weary themselves trying to commit evil. And it's a slippery slope. The feet are fast. When it is time to do good, it is slow. Here it is fast, it is swift. That is the process. It is swift to run.
And so we see that the natural man, he does wrong things just because he can. The fallen man is curved in within himself. That's what the theologians and the old saints would say. We're curved into ourselves. It is our own desires that we are looking at, first and foremost. What is good for me? And today, the language is not so different. You do you. We're still curved into ourselves. It is that which is good for me that I must put above everything else. And so we're fast to think of how I can benefit. And the outcome, of course, is evil. It's evil. That's always the result, this wrongdoing. See in the Bible, people whose feet led them astray, if you will. Abraham and Lot were at a point where they had to divide. And Lot saw that shining looking place called Sodom. And he says, I'll go here. That's where his feet led him. Samson's feet took him to Philistia, to pagan women. Of course, to his capture and his eventual death. David, when his feet were supposed to take him to war, stayed planted at the palace. And we know the results from that. Each of these men, they suffered the consequences of God's judgment for their missteps. The outcome of this process, as we said, is wrongdoing. That's the result. It's wrongdoing. But here is the thing. Again, we, with Lot, with Samson, with David, we will be without hope. If it were not for another man whose feet and heart took him to Golgotha. The Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus, he set his face like a flint. He knew what he was going to face at Calvary. But the determination was rock hard. The resolve was unflinching. And he headed in that direction of Jerusalem. Because of you and because of me. There's one that washed the feet of others, but his own feet ended up being pierced on a Roman cross. Not for his sake, and so we see the entrance of the gospel. It's the only thing that can transform a wicked heart, that can transform evil feet. Feet that would run to evil change to that which bears the readiness of the gospel of peace as a sandal. We can only thank our Lord Jesus Christ that we are known by the only wise God who leads us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's the one that makes our feet beautiful. Because Isaiah would tell us that how beautiful at the feet of those that bear glad tidings of joy.
So as we come to the end of this series, these are the questions that serve like a diagnostic or a heart check for us. When you get to the doctor, he starts by asking you these questions. How do you feel here? How long have you had the pain? What does this, how does it feel? When did you notice it? And so on and so on. So, you know, to you, my brothers and my sisters, the question is, do you really love God? This series lets us know that in loving God, do you hate what he hates? Do you hate pride? Do you hate pride? As much from your own heart as you despise it from that your proud neighbor who can't even greet you. Do you hate the lies that come even from your child as much as you hate it from that government minister? Do you hate hands that are violent as much as the words of violence that come from your mouth and my mouth? Do you hate the twisted heart? Are you aware of your heart when you're planning how to revenge, how to give back, how to do basbos? Running scenarios in your head. How you put that person in their place. How you respond to that guy online. Are you quick to call evil good? Or refusing even clearly to rebuke what is wrong. Whether it's wrong dressing, wrong speech. Evil jesting. We're called to a very high standard. What about the false witness? Do you stop the juicy gossip in its tracks? Or you're enjoying it? Sometimes we don't know when we get carried into these things. Even in the things that we read. I mean, they are gossip magazines. That's all they do. They celebrate other people's pain. And we follow. Is there a heart check? What about the merchant of discord? That is used to magnifying things and taking them out of context. Very closely related to the false witness. The gist of slander. This is the house of God. The household of God. These are searching questions for all of us. As Christians, do you hate the way the Bible wants us to hate? Do you even hate lovingly? Because our hatred is not to be abusive,
hatred of sin and its expressions is not to be abusive. The Bible tells us as much as lies in us that we should strive to live peaceably with all men. Courteousness, being reasonable, being kind, not abusive, not insulting. Even in hating, our hating is supposed to be evangelistic. It's supposed to have an end in mind. And what is that end? To bring the person to a place where the gospel of love may be preached. And if you're not a Christian, because I've determined not to assume anything anymore, but that is those who are online, anybody who's hearing me, if you're not a Christian, you need to understand that you are in open rebellion to the God of the universe. You need to also understand that as much as you are the object of God's love, you are the object of God's hatred as well. You need to know that judgment of the immoral awaits. You need to know that your soul, your very soul, awaits destruction in hell. You need to understand that no one can deliver you from his hand. But you also need to understand that there is hope. There is hope. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time that you would turn to the man from Galilee and let your feet run swiftly to him, that he may do so much for you. He can forgive your sins. And he can send his Holy Spirit to you. He can change your heart so that you can love the man from Galilee. And that is how you can love the man from Galilee, by hating what he hates. Praise the Lord. Are we having your question and answer session?